All right. Hey, guys. Alex Lokes here, and this is the November episode of Classic Camera Revival. And today we are going to talk about a camera that has almost a legendary air around it. I mean, this is the camera that went to the moon. This is the camera that really brought Sweden onto the map in terms of photography. And
not just their chocolate.
Not just their chocolate or the chef. That is, of course, we are talking about the Hasselblad line of cameras, specifically the 500 series, which all four of us have now had a chance to shoot, and three of us actually own. So let's get rolling, and don't worry, people, we are not going to completely and totally fanboy over this camera on this episode.
Coming to you live from Toronto, Canada, this is the Classic Camera Revival. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you certainly will after listening to our show.
All right. So, hey, guys, we are back. And we are going to talk about the H factor. That is what makes the Hasselblad so special, what we like about it, what we dislike about it, and what we want to destroy the camera about. So let's start with who got the Hasselblad last. So that would be John. So let's hear what your initial thoughts were when you first started shooting the camera.
Okay. When I got mine, my model, I got a 500CM. The serial number says it's about from 1987, but they're all getting pretty old at this point. The one I got needed some work. It was definitely a user. I had a problem with the film back, and hold that thought, because problem with film back is going to be a running theme through my comments. So I had to get it in, took it up to Camtech in Hamilton, was able to give it a CLA and fix the issue with the back, and it started working. But then I said, well, let's get a couple more backs. And I've had problems with every back I've bought. And that is generally considered to be a bit of a weak point.
Yes.
For the camera. Like basically, I've got backs where it won't stop at the first frame. Like you sort of have to watch it and stop at the first number, which is no big deal. The issue is when you get frame spacing irregularities, or if it starts, like you can end up losing half the last frame because the thing's run out of film. The other thing I'm going to say that's negative, and I think this is probably just my copy of the lens, my 82.8 planar, if I look at it the wrong way, the shutter will go off. And so with the Hasselblad, there's a definite complexity in operation, you know, that you can't remove the lens unless it's cocked.
Yes.
And if the lens gets cocked when it's off the camera, you can't mount it. So you have to go and manually re-cock the lens. And what's interesting is you think, oh, this is a fairly rare occurrence. There is a company that sells a specially made tool to allow you to unjam your lens and unjam your back. So like, I love the results. The Zeiss glass is amazing. Like I think I've got the 80, I've got the 50 and the 150, and my 50 Distagon lens, which is sort of like a medium wide angle, is probably my favorite lens. Any camera, any platform, any format. I love that lens. It's the second one I've had after the first one had an accident, but it's almost like you get amazing results from the Hasselblad, but there are quirks you just have to deal with because yes. Ergonomically, it's not the greatest camera in the world.
No.
So yes, so I love it, but it's a complicated relationship.
Yes. And I agree with that completely. I have one completely functioning film back out of the three that I own. One I need to send in for service to get it so that it resolves the frame spacing issue. I always lose my last frame with it. And the other one, I need to redo the light seals on it. And actually, that was when I first got my Hasselblad, that was the first thing that I had to do, was get the light seals redone. And I got them done professionally initially, but I've since learned how to do it myself. And it's just now a matter of the time to do the third back. And that's about all you can do on your own on these cameras. I mean, I looked to see if I could get the frames, if I could fix this frame spacing issues, if it would, like the Kiev that had the same issue with just an adjustment screw, and it fixed it up. Not so much with the Hasselblad, unfortunately. But again, that's the trouble with having a precision instrument. Another thing that I don't think the camera deserves the price point it sells at.
I agree.
Are very expensive. Even the older ones, I mean, mine dates to the 70s. It was the last of the 500C models before they moved to the 500CM. And I mean, I got a good deal on it. 500 US for a back, an 80 lens, a waist level finder, and a body. And it's Columbus Camera Club. But I mean, again, I've already had to get the light seals replaced on a back. Another back that I bought, again, is now the one that needs to get the frame spacing issues with. And the third back needs light seals again. I've had to get the body repaired because a spring broke. And apparently that was a fairly weak spring. And again, Roger at Camtech, sadly Camtech has now closed.
Now, apparently he's still going to do work once he relocates to Barrie, Ontario.
Yes.
Barrie. Okay. Wow.
So I will probably send my film back to him once he gets reestablished to get the frame spacing issue fixed. If not, I have the card of a guy who is a factory trained Hasselblad specialist, and I'll pay the extra money. And that is truly the big problem with the Hasselblad series, is the cost attached to it, to buying the lenses. Even the old chrome lenses, which don't have the nice T-star coating,
they're very expensive too,
but are still fantastic lenses. They are cheaper, but again, it's still like,
yeah,
like, it's like you're paying the camera equivalent of an Apple tax.
That's right. You are paying for having the Hasselblad logo on it, which I never understood about it. I mean, I'm not knocking the camera. It's a fantastic camera. It's my 6x6 SLR of choice.
I look at it this way. It's kind of like the Mercedes of the world. You've got a really fancy looking camera. It's great to have, but it spends more time in the shop than it does in your hands.
Yes. And one of my biggest problems is using the waist level finder with a tripod.
Oh.
You can't.
I agree.
Bring the tripod up to its full height, and then you have to bend down. And if you get older and you have back problems, it starts to become
a problem.
I was lucky that I was able to again find the original 45-degree metered finder at Burlington Camera for like $60.
Wow, that's a steal of a deal, Alex.
Again, we're so happy for you, Alex.
I think my co-hosts are going to jump me and kill me on our way out of this recording session. But anyway.
Nami.
I agree with you about the 45-degree finder, because I bought one.
Actually, I hated it, though.
And it's amazing. It's just one of those things where you either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
And for me, the 45-degree finder is the one that stays on the camera the most.
Okay. I only keep mine on if I'm shooting it on a tripod. If I'm shooting it handheld, then the waist level, hands down. Because again, it comes into my experience with the Bronica, where I only had an eye level finder on it, and without that side grip,
it's really awkward. It is really awkward.
It's awkward. So
there's a lot of time on my SQAI. I actually take off the eye level finder because I can't stand it.
No,
I am really wanting a waist level finder, but just like on the Blads, for some weird reason, you get the prism finder, which is apparently cheap, or you go for the waist level finder, which has like some weird like air to it. Like it has to be made out of, I don't know, unicorn horn or something, because it's like retardedly expensive. I don't get it. Why is the prism finder like $50, whereas the waist level finder, which is just a couple flaps of metal, is costing $200?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Or you want to see something expensive, go price out an Acute matte focusing screen.
Oh, yeah. Any accessory related to a Hasselblad, if it's in any sort of good shape, will command a premium price point.
Even their pistol grip is pricey.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully with my Hassie, I, knock on wood, I haven't had an issue. I was actually really lucky. Alex had introduced me to a friend of his, Jason, who's a fantastic photographer. I really recommend you guys look up his work. It's just it's phenomenal. Like, there's pieces I want to buy once we move from him. I'm in love with his photography. Oh,
yeah. We'll link his website on our episode
definitely
notes.
But he sold me his, and mine was in pristine condition. I got it with the prism. I got it with the waist level finder. I got two lenses with it.
One lens.
One lens.
Two backs.
Sorry, two
lens.
Backs. That's right. Okay. And I haven't had an issue, thankfully, with any of it. I love my Hasselblad. I've loved it since Alex is the one that introduced me to the Hasselblad, so I blame Alex. But it is a fantastic camera. The pictures it takes, I agree with John. The lenses is just phenomenal. The only problem I have with my Hasselblad is it does get pretty heavy. You're walking along, you're going on a really long photo shoot. I really recommend you want to bring it, but I recommend that you at least definitely put it on a strap or bring your
camera bag.
Yeah, camera bag. Or my husband. But
but no, it means bring a mule.
The pictures it takes once you hang up that photography after you developed it, and it's phenomenal.
I think you sort of touched on a good point, the fact that the one you got was so well maintained. Like, let's face it, these cameras were workhorses for professional photographers. And so I'm willing to bet, and what you said, Alex, was they're a precision mechanism that require maintenance. And if something's been run through the mill and hasn't been maintained, it's going to be a bit of a sick puppy.
A car.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking that mine is, you know, not a complete sick puppy, but I'm thinking that that maybe in 2017 I might spring for a better body, like a 501, or even if I have the money, like a 503.
Yep.
Because all the accessories work.
Yes.
So I say if you're going to buy one, you really need as much as possible to check the condition, because it is a complex mechanism to pull off what
it
does.
And John did touch on a fantastic point. The 500 series, the accessories are universal.
Yep,
so, yep. I mean, my three backs, I have one from the early 70s. I have one from 2001.
Wow.
And then another one from the 90s. So, again, but they all work on this camera from the 70s. And that is truly the one thing that Victor Hasselblad got right, was that he designed a system camera in an age where camera companies were starting to get a little more proprietary, and bringing it back to, well, yes, but I'm going to make everything forwards and backwards compatible, because that's what photographers want. They don't want to have to, oh no, my 500C body broke. Now I have to buy new lenses, new backs, new finders.
Right.
No, you just have to buy just a body on your own, and just a body without any accessories isn't that expensive.
No.
Right? You get a working body stripped down of everything.
You usually can find them between $250 US, sometimes as high as $500 US, just depending on condition.
That's right.
And the serial number.
Well, I think next year, you know, I'm, again, because you said all the parts that are changeable, I've got the acute matte screen, I've got the lenses, the finder. I just need that carcass. You know, I don't mind spending $1,000 to get a 501 or a bit more for a 503.
That's right.
Because when the camera works, it's my favorite camera.
There you go. Yeah.
For me, with the Hasselblad, it's not really, I don't really have any kind of working relationship with the Hasselblad. I've used my wife's a few times. I don't really get the draw to it. I don't find it really any different than any other 6x6 system, whether you're using a Koaflex or whether you're using a TLR, whether I'm using my Bronica, whether it's the EC or the SQAI. I don't quite get the draw. Yes, it's a pretty camera, but it's heavy. It really is. I find it's pretty awkward to use at many times. The advanced mechanism, it's typical crank. It's the same on whether using a Bronica, whether using a Mamiya, whether using a Kiev. They're pretty similar in design, but I just find that it's not ergonomical. I have I don't find the love there for the Blad. It's just me. Maybe there's others out there that have the same experience using it. Maybe they don't. But there is one thing that I do have noticed about it. It is really easy to focus. Yeah. Although I found my SQAI incredibly simple to focus. But a lot of the time it has a lot to do with the screen on it. Because if you get yourself, as John said, the Acumat screen, it is really crystal clear. It makes it a breeze to focus. But I don't quite get, I don't know. I just find that at that price point, there should be something more to it. It's kind of like using Leica. I had a Leica 3A, and sure, it was lightweight. It was really compact. I really liked how it felt in my hand. But the price point for Leica did not really, it didn't do it for me. I preferred my Fed for the main reason it was a lot easier to load. And I find that with the Hasselblad, it is a pain in the butt to load.
I don't find the Hassi that hard to load, to be quite honest.
I found certain brands of film, the leader just does not want to stay in.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten to that point.
400 film, it complains.
I've found, especially with leaders, that occasionally I'll have the leaders tear, and then I have to sort of, yeah. Twice now with RPX 25. The leader has torn when I go to advance it, and
you've had that problem.
Then I've had to sort of
I had it once, yeah.
Sort of jury rig, and then I lose a lot of the film because the counter gets off.
Yeah.
Have you ever found that when you're loading the holder back into the camera after you've loaded it, that the paper catches on the film plane?
Nope.
I've had it, well, not really the film plane, but the film door itself, where the opening between the body and the back.
What
I've had that happen so many times.
I've had that happen because I've put the dark slide in, so there's a little lip on the dark slide. You want it pointing towards the lip, pointing towards the camera body, rather than towards the back of the film magazine, and then that truly eliminates that problem.
And like, there are some fiddly aspects
yep.
to using a Hasselblad. Like, if I'm going out shooting, you want to have multiple backs with the Hasselblad, because like, compared to, let's say, like loading a Rolleiflex, that's the most beautifully simply loading camera there is that format. But the Hasselblad, it takes a minute or two.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, a Rolleiflex, I've been told that you can, if you accidentally roll the film the wrong way, flip it over, put it back. Now you got a backwards roll of film, but the film takes it.
Cool.
It doesn't care.
One thing we have not mentioned is the E series, the motorized one.
I've had no experience shooting with those, so I can't really honestly talk about
them. I was going to pass along one piece of advice that I got from from Camtech. You look at these cameras, the bodies are quite a bit cheaper than the 5. There's a reason. They they take batteries unless you buy a special kit.
They don't look as nice either.
They don't look
like
as nice.
Frankenstein.
But they tend to be even more unreliable. And apparently there are some situations in which an E-series Hasselblad, according to Roger at Camtech, can damage a lens.
Oh, wow.
If it's wound. So
I thought it was going to explode like a Samsung Galaxy Note 7, but...
they're working on it. But so I've been told by someone I trust, stay away from the motorized. Now, we may have said some things that are controversial in our discussion. So if you're a Hasselblad user, please... chime in, let us know. Please, unlike our previous episode, do not send us videos of you destroying a Hasselblad.
I'd like to see that. If you take a Hasselblad and destroy it, I think it would be entertaining and painful to watch at the same time.
After we see the Bronica demolition video.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially if it's the AM, absolutely. That thing deserves to blow up.
That was a great roundtable discussion. So my name's Alex Lokes, and we're sorry for hassling your Blads.
This is Donna Bataxi, and please send us in your stuff. We're looking forward to it.
This is Mike Bataxi, and although I may prefer Bronica, I do admit the Hasselblad is a nice-looking machine.
This is John Meadows saying, you'll always look classy if you carry a Hassie.
which is a very Newfoundlandish way of pronouncing it.
I is the bi that shoots the blood, but she likes her mamia. Mike is there with a big smile because she's shooting Shmina.
Ooh.
That's not bad for off the top of my head.
No, that's pretty good.
I didn't screw everything up today.
No.
Too bad you weren't recording that. That would have been great.
I was.
Oh, you were. Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
That'll be a great snippet at the end.
Yeah.
Snippet. Great snippet.
There's a new word.
There's a snippet from my Schweppes. My name is Steve.
Yes.